This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, from time to time in our talks we speak about great people of the past with the intention of being inspired and motivated by them. Today I would like to speak of a very great Sahabi. A Sahabi who was a close relative to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is none other than Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas was the son of Abbas. As such, he was the cousin of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was born some 3 years before Hijrah. And this would put him at the time of the death of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around the age of 13 or 14. Just remember this because it will have bearings in what I'm about to say. آج ہم عبداللہ ابن عباس رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کے بارے میں بیان کریں گے. عبداللہ ابن عباس نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے چچا عباس رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کے بیٹے، نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پوتا ذات بھائی، چچا ذات بھائی، یعنی چچا ذات بھائی. اور عبداللہ ابن عباس رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ ہجرت سے 3 سال پہلے ان کی پیدائش، تو نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے وفات کے وقت ان کی عمر 13 یا 14 سال کی تھا. he was at that particular time. His mother was Umm Fadl. Mother was name is Umm Fadl. She used to say, I was amongst the very first people to accept Islam. Some narration say, after Hazrat Khadija رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ, she was the first woman to accept Islam. Hazrat Khadija رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کے بعد ام فضل عبداللہ ابن عباس رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کے والدہ مشرف بے اسلام ہوا. So this in this particular way, he was from a very prominent family, the cousin of Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, the son of Abbas, the mother ام فضل, who was among the very first people to accept Islam. And she says, when he was born, I took him to Nabi کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, who put made tahniq. So the very first thing that entered his body was the mubarak saliva of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made tahniq of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Subhanallah, this was an amazing thing. Because of that barakah, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu always used to be in the forefront. And especially with regard to knowledge and with regard to aspects pertaining to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he reached the age of discretion, so when he was slightly young, slightly where he could understand, he attached himself to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to go and fetch the water for the wuzu of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him tremendously. One day Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to make wuzu, and there was no water. So Abbas hurried and brought water for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make wudu. When this happened, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu, and at the time of salat, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أو عبدالله ابن عباس read نماز behind me, read نماز with me, stand next to me, میرے ساتھ آ کر نماز پڑھو. تو عبداللہ ابن عباس didn't have the courage to stand next to نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, he stayed at the back. So after salat, نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said, عبداللہ, I told you to stand next to me. Why didn't you stand next to me? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, you are too illustrious and you are too great for me to stand side by side with you. Therefore I stood behind you. Nabi Karim saw some good, extremely happy. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him dua. Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. Allahumma fahhimhu al-kitab. Awallah, grant him the knowledge of the kitab. Ya Allah, grant him the interpretation of the kitab. One riwayat made mention, Awallah, grant him the ta'wil. Even the hidden aspects of the Quran, grant it to him. Therefore, in our history, Abdullah ibn Abbas is known as the Mufassir of the Holy Quran. The one who understood the Quran the most amongst the Sahaba. He is known as the Mufassir of this Ummah. He is known as the best Mufassir of this. His heart was enthusiastic. His young mind was pure and uncluttered. So he committed the sayings of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to memory in a very short time and with accuracy. And he related 1,660 sayings of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much? 1,660. I ask you to remember what was his age when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. 13 or 14. Before that time, Abdullah ibn Abbas memorized 1,660 ahadith. Before the age of 30, and of course, I don't need to test anyone, but take this whole gathering. I don't think anyone knows even 500 ahadith. Never mind 500, we don't even know 20. 1,660 by the age of 30, he knew. That was Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And one of the reasons for this, one of the reasons was this, because of his enthusiasm. He used to say, I kept up my quest for knowledge and approached every person who was supposed to have heard something from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, sometimes I used to go and hear that this Sahabi knew a hadith. I used to go and sit outside his door. I felt it against etiquette that for my knowledge, I must disturb his sleeping. For my knowledge, I must disturb his sleeping. He said, I used to put a sheet outside the Sahabi's house. And then when he used to come out and he used to see me there, and you should say, the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why didn't you tell me? I would have come out to teach you. And Abdullah ibn Abbas used to say, no, I have come to seek knowledge. I must wait. I mustn't give you taklif. Today, nowadays, you know, you ask the Muslim, and you expect him to give reply immediately. One day I will just give you an incident of myself. I was very busy. Someone asked me a masala on WhatsApp. I took time to reply. He sent me a message, if I was from Houghton, you would have given me a reply. And in your knowledge, you should have taken out time to come to me. You send a knowledge and this is the type of, you know, messages you send. Subhanallah. So Abdullah ibn Abbas used to sit and then he used to wait. He said, sometimes I used to wait for several hours because I was the one who was thirsty for knowledge. One day he met Zayd ibn Thabit. Now Zayd ibn Thabit was very, very knowledgeable. In our parlance, in our Islamic terminology, we say, Afraduhum Zayd ibn Thabit. The one who knew the most about laws of inheritance. So he went and he was on his conveyance. Abdullah ibn Abbas went to go and hug him, show him respect, kiss him. So Zayd ibn Thabit, although he was senior to Abdullah ibn Abbas, he felt very, very, you know, embarrassed. So he said, Da ya ibn Ammi Rasulillah. Da ya ibn Ammi Rasulillah. Oh, the cousin of the Prophet of Almighty Allah, don't do this to me, you are making me feel ashamed. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, you know, showed him greater respect and he said, Hakada umirna an naf'ala bi ulama'ina. Leave me, O Zayd. This is the way my cousin taught me to treat the ulama. Hakada umirna an naf'ala bi ulama'ina. This is the way he taught me to treat the ulama. This is the way we have been taught to show respect to the ulama. So in turn, what did Zayd ibn Thabit do? He said, arini yadak. O cousin of the Prophet, give me your hand. فَقَبَّلَهَا. And he kissed it. And he said, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِأَحْلِ بَيْتِ نَبِيِّنَا. He kissed it and he said, this is the way we have been taught to show respect to the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at the mutual respect. This is the way. Masrook is one of the most famous students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. You look at the books of tafsir, any book of tafsir you will say, Masrook relates from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Masrook is a student, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُهُ قُلْتُ أَجْمَلُ النَّاسِ. If you were to see Abdullah ibn Abbas, you would say, the most handsome of human beings. وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمَ أَفْسَحُ النَّاسِ. When he speaks, you will say, the most eloquent of people. وَإِذَا تَعَدَّدَ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ. When you interact with him, you will say, the most knowledgeable of people. When you look at him, you say, أَجْمَلُ النَّاسِ, the most handsome of people. When he speaks, أَفْسَحُ النَّاسِ, سَبْسَ زَيَرَ فَسِحِ. And when you interact with him, أَبُنْ سَمِلَهِ, تُوْكَتُ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ, سَبْسَ زَيَرَ إِلَمُ. أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ. This was his, and you know, this is a respect, this respect that showed him and gave him this great amount of knowledge. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, you say, inna al-yateema, yateemu al-ilmi wal-adabi. The yateem is not one, in reality, the yateem, yes, the technical term of yateem is one who has lost his parents. He used to say, the real yateem, and often is he who is deprived of knowledge and respect. Yateem to wo hai, jiske paas ilm nahi, jiske paas adab nahi. That Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say. Subhanallah, this was, what was it? He used to have, his house was a place of knowledge. Subhanallah. It was a university. Sometimes once one person, he said, I came to his house, I saw a crowd of people. So I went, I said, Abdullah, there are people waiting for you. He said, what are they waiting for? He said, let me make wudu. He came out. He said, there were people who were wanting to know about tafsir, and they wanted to know about history, and they wanted to know about seerah. And he gave each and every one time. Thereafter, he used to distribute his time by giving classes on different disciplines of deen. So today, alhamdulillah, our institutions, we have different disciplines of deen and different ulama and ustads teaching those disciplines. Abdullah ibn Abbas was someone who was known as Bahrul Ulum, the ocean of knowledge. So he used to teach ilm, tafsir, hadith, fiqh from one person. Today we have experts in different fields. He was an expert in every field. So that is why he's known as the ocean of knowledge. One remarkable type of incident and hadith that is related about him, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day took Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he was sitting behind Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a conveyance. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما. I was behind Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم on one day. And he said, يا غلام إني أعلمك بكلمات إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك. Oh my son, I'm teaching you few sentences. You protect Allah's commands, Allah will protect you. آپ اللہ تعالیٰ کے احکام کی حفاظت کرو, اللہ تعالیٰ آپ کی حفاظت فرمائیں گے. احفظ اللہ تجدہ تجاہک. Preserve the commands of Allah, you will find Allah سبحانہ و تعالیٰ in front of you. اذا سألت فاسأل اللہ. When you ask for anything, ask from اللہ تعالیٰ. Don't ask from مخلوق. مخلوق سے نہ مانگو, اللہ تعالیٰ سے مانگو. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ اسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. لَمْ يَنْفَوْكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Remember, if the entire humanity wants to give you one sin, they want to benefit you so little, they will not be able to benefit you unless Allah wills it and Allah has determined it. And wa'alam, وَلَوْ اِجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَدُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And oh my young son, if the entire humanity want to harm you, sab milkar aapko zarar pahunchana chahte hain, so they can't even harm one hair of yours unless Allah wills it. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتِ السُّحُوفِ. In this particular manner, the pens have been lifted with regard to taqdeer. No one will be able to benefit, no one will be able to harm you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it. He played a very prominent role after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's passing away. I'm still astounded. Age of 13, 14, he knew 1,660 hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed him respect and showed him love and kindness because of this, and made dua for him for the knowledge. Umar radiallahu anhu used to rely upon Abdullah ibn Abbas. Now if you look at Umar radiallahu anhu became Khalifa 2 years after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's passing away, Abdullah ibn Abbas was 17, 18 in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu used to put him in his mashwara right in front. Put right, some of the elder Sahaba, initially they felt it, that such a young Sahabi, how can he be in the rank of the senior Sahaba? And Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, a young man of maturity. He is young, but he's got maturity. One day Umar radiallahu anhu asked about one ayat. The incident is long, there is a whole incident behind it. And everyone gave their view. Abdullah ibn Abbas gave the best view with regard to the meaning of that ayat. So when he did so, then Umar said, do you know why I'm putting him now in my gathering? A young man of maturity and understanding the Holy Quran. When Abbas saw Umar radiallahu anhu having such regard for Abdullah ibn Abbas, he gave him 5 advisors. And he said, oh my son, Umar loves you a lot. Umar has a lot of respect for you. He has a lot of consideration for you. Now you don't betray his confidence that he has in you. Don't do 5 things. Don't divulge his secrets. Don't speak bad of anyone in front of Umar. Many times we speak bad of someone in front of someone, we feel we'll be very good. You lose your respect if you do so. If you speak bad about someone in front of another person, you lose your respect. Don't tell lies in front of Umar radiallahu anhu. Don't disobey what he is telling you, and don't ever act disloyal to him. The famous sage Sha'bi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that every one of those advisors is equivalent to 1,000 advisors. Oh my son, Abbas told him, Umar loves you. Now don't do, remember these 5 things, so that you can remain in his confidence. And another aspect with regard to it, in the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali radiallahu ta'ala sent him to debate with the Khawarij. Now who was the Khawarij? There were Khawarij, initially was a sect in Islam who portrayed that they were very strict. But in reality, in that strictness, there was batil, there was falsehood. They were false. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned that you must not go beyond the limits. They went beyond the limits. They used to kill Muslims. They used to be, maybe as a group, there are people who don't exist today as that group as Khawarij. But in terms of thoughts and ideologies, they have always existed this in the Ummah that you and I have to take into consideration. That those who nosh, you know, it's not necessarily that those who speak the ashes or those who speak that they apparently show that they are the most strict, they are necessarily upon the true path. Not necessarily. So they were among those who oppose Ali radiallahu ta'ala. They said Ali radiallahu ta'ala is on batil. So Abdullah ibn Abbas asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu to go and debate with them. So Ali radiallahu anhu initially was not very in favor. Then he said, go and debate. So they made 3 objections. Right? Very briefly. The one objection was that why did Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu agree to arbitration? In al-hukmu illa lillah. The law is only for Almighty Allah. By him agreeing to arbitration of human beings, he has gone against his highest. The second one was when he fought against Hazrat Muawiyah and against Hazrat Talha and Zubair and Hazrat Aisha. Why didn't he take booty? Why didn't he take the spoils of war? And the third thing, when Ali radiallahu ta'ala was initially called Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali radiallahu ta'ala was hesitant out of humility to accept that title. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala replied to them and said, you find it difficult with regard to arbitration. Allah in the Quran has made mention of arbitration. That when husband and wife fights, they must go to arbitrators. Allah has made kiftum shiqaqa bainihima fabathu hakama min ahli wa hakama min ahliya. How can you say arbitration of human beings in a dispute is against the Quran? Allah has made mention of it. Then with regard to your second objection, he fought against Talha and Zubair. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was there. Abdullah ibn Abbas asked him, are you prepared? Were you prepared? If you wanted booty, then part of it at that time was also to take slaves. Are you prepared to take Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Aisha, as your slave? They all felt embarrassed. And on the third thing he said, he gave an example of how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Hudaybiyah had his name when the Quraysh objected to Muhammadur Rasulullah. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed to erase it. So he gave beautiful replies. Half of the Khawarij were cut. They came upon the truth. And the others were still not convinced. Even after this argument or debate with Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala fought against them and killed them. In Nihawan, Ali radiallahu ta'ala fought against them and killed them. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, and one last thing I will say, he had genuine concern for the people. And therefore one of his great statements was, when I realized the importance of a verse of Allah's kitab and I have understood it, I wish that everyone can also share in that knowledge. If I understand an ayat of the Quran, I wish that everyone was also understanding. So I like to share it. Today we don't like to share. Women don't share their recipes also. And if they share their recipe, they put one small thing wrong, so it must not come as good as yours. Many times it happens. We don't like to share. Our suppliers. Here is Abdullah ibn Abbas saying that when I see something good, I want to share it with the entire ummah. When I hear of a Muslim ruler who deals with people equitably and justice, I feel happy for those people who are under that ruler who is just. I feel happy. And the third thing is, when I hear beneficial rain has come upon any part of the world, I feel happy. Such great concern for humanity. One of his great statements, there are many of his statements which I have written, time does not allow, I'll just say one statement. He says, subhanallah, that when he said the ground upon which people make sijda, when a person dies, that ground will cry. Abdullah ibn Abbas used to say, you are in a place in a masjid and you make sijda, when you die, that place will cry for you. So many times ulama have said from this, that if you have a specific spot in a masjid, when you die, that place, that will make dua for you. Abdullah ibn Abbas passed away. Afterwards he became very disillusioned with what was happening in the Muslim world at that time, especially what had happened at Karbala. He went to go and stay in Taif, and he passed away there at the age of 71. There is a masjid known, there is known as Masjid Abdullah ibn Abbas. Nearby that masjid is a place where Abdullah ibn Abbas is buried. I had the opportunity to go to that place. You don't find the exact spot where he was buried, but we have a place of land and said, Abdullah ibn Abbas is buried there. May Allah transfer his qabr wa sroor, and may Allah transfer us the tawfiq of understanding the beauty and the lessons from his life. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ